April 23rd, 1995, Rob Robb speaking at the Barnyard Community Room. Are we I'm going to do my best to actually record properly today. So one of the things that I actually remembered to talk about today was memory. And so I had to write it down to make sure. How many of you are noticing memory problems? Yeah, okay, so is that a fair topic to address here at the beginning? Being that I'm a person who's never remembered a thing a day in his life, I figure I'm an expert at this. So I will do my best to address memory. One of the things I've witnessed about memory, a lot of people lately well, there's a couple different parts. The first part is time is warping on you guys, and most of you have heard me chat about that before. But for those of you that are new, you might notice that what it takes to do something today, it takes twice as long as it did 10 years ago to do it. And it's not because you're older and slower, you're probably wiser and faster. But time is changing. Anybody not notice that? Doesn't think that's unusual? Time is actually changing right in front of you. A little refresher before we go into this memory part. This is the decade of the 90s is the decade of truth. And there's and 1990 through 1994-ish to the beginning of 95 was your wonderful opportunity to experience your worst fears. And so anybody here not had that privilege to... I'm usually synchronistically all the right people are all in the right spot. 1995 through the year 2000 is your opportunity to do something about it with a lot more support or more effortlessly and easily. So what's happening is your bodies are going through changes. Your DNA is pre-encoded to do some shifts and changes. The first change that you'll notice is this time or timelessness, and that's a what I consider a fourth dimensional experience. 3D is height, width, and depth, and so the fourth dimension is time or timelessness. So already we have these devices out there like those three-dimensional stereograms, and a lot of different things are being presented to alter your perception of what depth perception is or what reality is. And time is now going through shifts and changes. Hi, sweetie. The fifth dimensional shifts that you're going through is about matter. And for those of you that used to think things mattered, and the minute you decided it didn't, you might notice it went away immediately. Or it might have in the past taken a few days, weeks, or years to go away. Now, in seconds, it's gone. And if all of a sudden you think something matters, if you listen to somebody give you some chat and you never considered it before, but now you think it does, you'll see it everywhere. It's getting more and more instantaneous. And what you're being asked to do as you go through these shifts is to be more present in the moment and be operating more in just the moment, not in tomorrow. Okay. And I believe personally, and great, I have Annie here, so it's great we can have a debate, because she has different opinions, that the more you get in the moment, the less you'll remember, because yesterday's irrelevant and tomorrow's a whole nother lifetime. And so many of you have been working very diligently on getting more in your bodies and getting more present and paying more attention to here and now, and the reward for that is that you're forgetting things. Things don't matter quite so much anymore. And time is becoming a very strange concept. And so if you get all attached to remembering, you'll find you might end up torturing yourself and repeating these cycles. Oh, I need to know more. I should on myself. I should keep these lists. I should do this and should do that. Now, when I chat with Annie about it, what she points out is that it doesn't hurt, or it does help to remember your past so you don't repeat it. And so many of you, when you repeat your behaviors over and over again, eventually you get an aha and recall what you're doing. Jung called it in his theory of synchronicity, the way he described it, he says you repeat events in your life over and over again until you have the excruciating cellular memory as to why, excruciating, thank you, Carl, the excruciating cellular memory as to why you were doing it. And I prefer to call it an aha. It sounds a lot simpler and a lot lighter. The trick is, do you need memory to have an aha, or can you just have it without remembering all the other times? That's up to you guys. I believe that you can just have it after enough experiences. And then again, maybe it's nice not to know how many times you've repeated that same behavior so you don't kick yourself around the block a few times. But that's more humorous. I'm not quite sure if that's really true or not. I haven't tested it yet. So being in the moment will affect your memory. And fearlessness, we talked, anybody here not heard my fear chat before? I'm going to do a little, yeah, a third of the room. So a quick refresher for me on what fear is. Fear is a tap on the shoulder telling you you're not in the moment. It's your best friend. It says, where are you? Because you're not right here and now. Fear is an anticipatory energy about what might happen. And so it hasn't happened yet, can't possibly be broken, and you can't fix it. Is today what you thought it would be 10 days ago? Yeah. And so this doing stuff for tomorrow doesn't work. It's always different. Or if it is similar, it's only similar in some aspects, and it can shift easy. It's on occasion, you'll get these deja vu-like experiences, but then we're so curious, we always have to try to change them and screw them up. So even when you finally do get in the moment and get in the flow, you shift it. So memory, I'm noticing for the great many people, is going bye-bye. And for me, it's been bye-bye for a long time, and I used to. And so all my life, I was wondering what's wrong with drive Sandy nuts. I literally, like for those of you I've had readings with, unless I've seen your pictures that I've taken of you so I can recall you or look at my notes, if you bump into me that afternoon and I did a reading for you that morning, I won't remember you. There are some people I remember, it just goes. The information goes. That's why those of you I've done chats with, I make some notes, so if you ever were to call me again, I don't repeat myself over and over with you. Oh yeah, we talked about those things. And still I repeat myself all the time. In fact, did I tell you guys I repeat myself all the time? Oh, I did. So I'll do that a bunch of times today, I'm sure. So with memory, as a person who most of my life did not remember yesterday, I've found that because I don't, the universe, and I'm relatively comfortable with it. I believe I'm pretty comfortable with it today. 10 years ago, it was very frustrating trying to remember my children's birthdays. I had to hire a service to remind me when the birthdays were and what to do and give me 5 days' notice so I can get cards and presents. You think, my goodness, it's your kids. You think you should remember that? But phew, it's gone. And so I found that as soon as I got unattached to it, the universe sent me people with memories. They will tell me what needs to be remembered, or all of a sudden I'll get a reminder. You'll hear birthday off in the distance. Oh, good, that's right. There's a birthday coming up. You'll find that the universe will take care of you. For those of you with your memory slipping, and I would recommend staying more present in the moment, letting fear be your best friend, the tap on the shoulder saying, now you just get right back in there. It'll just cattle prod you right to the middle. And as you get in the moment, there really isn't any tomorrow, and there really isn't a yesterday. And you guys are the class of 2000, or you wouldn't be hanging out here with me. And that doesn't mean any. That's, you know, there's all these different levels. There's graduate students ahead of you, and there's freshmen behind you. But in this class of 2000, you're all going through very similar experiences. You might have different results from them, but the bottom line is you're going through these DNA shifts. You're going through these awarenesses, and for many people, they're just now waking up. 95 was the time for most people who weren't paying attention or didn't understand there were more things happening to start waking up. And so you might have new friends or new acquaintances, or we have a few new people in the room that this is new stuff for. So as the class of 2000, you're going to find that you're going to be going through a lot of fears and transitions right now. Bear in mind the fear is simply when you get caught up with tomorrow. What about the rent, or what about money, or what about what's my purpose? What am I to do? There is no purpose. The purpose of life is to find out there's never been a purpose. in America, the land of human doings instead of human beings, there's always this stuff about purpose. You will find the minute you let go and it doesn't matter, it always shows. So if there is a purpose for you to do, it shows more when you're not looking for it and you get back into your flow and get into the moment. So let fear be your guide. Make sense so far? In the memory thing, trust and know that as you just let go more into being in the moment, people will help remind you of things. There are a lot of things I forget that seemingly were important, but here I am still today, and I guess they must not have been so important. The world hasn't collapsed yet. And I would imagine that I've forgotten a great many things. Yes, I have a person who lives with me, so they can acknowledge this. I have an authority in the room. And so it's difficult, you'll find that it's difficult to do relationship with somebody like me. Now, if you're with somebody like you, and you're both forgetting, it actually works really well. So I was asked some about relationship and soulmate, so maybe this will fit in a little bit. When I talk about relationship, it's my belief that relationship is what you use to learn to relate to yourself. And to not fix yourself, but simply learn to love and accept your strengths and your weaknesses and your faux pas, and you are who you are. And as you love and accept that person, then you'll be able to create partnership. And the partner that you create, you won't need to project on them. You're already comfortable with who you are. You don't need to see parts of you outside of yourself. And it's like the ma and pa scenario in the pickup truck. You know, they're both going to vote that day, and they sit right next to each other. They're in their 90s, and pa's a Republican and ma's a Democrat. It usually is that way. Not always. And so they're sitting there, and they don't sit there and talk about, well, I'm going to cancel out ma's vote, and she's going to can't. They don't even think that way. This just, they're both doing their lives. They're having great joy to go voting, and it's not about canceling something out or us against them. They're just having their autonomous existence. So as you get into relationship, start working on your relationship, it opens you up for partnership. And part of the relationship chat is that you need to just let yourself be comfortable with being in the moment, being who you are, good, bad, or indifferent. How many of you have noticed that there's a lot of transition happening right now? Is feeling that? Anybody not notice that feels like normal everyday stuff? Few? Of course, you Gracie, when you have babies, everything's busy, normal, everyday stuff. So there's this time for the class of 2000, you guys are going to be going through a lot of experiences. You're going to feel like movement. You need to do shifts and changes. That doesn't mean you need to change your location. It doesn't mean you need to change your hairstyle or need to change who you're in relationship with. It's just about letting go of the resistances, letting fear be your friend, guide you back into the moment, and do what we'll call let go and let God, leaps of faith. You're the generation that's here to demonstrate leaps of faith, or the generations. It's not about a generation specifically in age. It's about a vibrational generation. And it's leaps of faith time, and the transitions that are coming on planet Earth are going to require not being preoccupied with food, shelter, and clothing. Maslow's hierarchy of needs was really appropriate up until the 60s, and it's pretty much gone out the door with Newtonian physics. So there's a lot of changes happening now. In the 1950s, a group of scientists, the minds on the planet at the time, were gathering together during that time capsule craze, and they made their own scientific time capsule that they dug up in 1970. They totally missed landing on the moon. They missed what computers were doing. They missed the four-minute mile. They missed breaking the sound barrier. They missed everything. And the reason they missed everything is up until the mid-50s, it took 30 years for one thing to happen. It was really a very slow-changing time as compared to what's exponentially happening now. And so with their tools that they had in the moment, and they projected into the 1970 realm through the 60s, they missed everything. And when you guys think about tomorrow, you hear me make comments about the transition or what's happening. This isn't about fear. There's nothing to worry about. You guys just have no idea what tools you'll have or what assistance you'll have. Most of you are beginning to wake up to that there's a lot more to you than just your body, and you have a lot of guidance and support, and they're not separate from you. They're a part of you. You're helping hands. All right, so in this transition, you're being asked more and more to stay in the moment, not being attached to yesterday, and really not looking forward to tomorrow. As you already discovered, today is not what you really thought it would be. I thought it would be foggy, personally. With all these days in a row, I had every belief that it was going to be, and there it goes. I'd have dressed in white. So you're being asked to stay more in the moment and trust in your leaps of faith. And that is your guy's job this generation. So let go and let God. Fearlessness. Have any of you had that experience where you just decided there wasn't much you could do about it and you just let go, and all of a sudden it just became so easy? In fact, it showed up?
I'm waiting.
Yeah. Just hang right in there. What's going to happen right now. We're in the right spot. Yeah. And there's a, so this goes back to those four ways that you hear me chat about, but it's important to do foundations. The four ways we demonstrate our truth to ourselves or get it heard. And bear in mind, these are just the four ways I see. I'm sure there's a myriad of other ways. I'm not very good with linear. So this is just my best effort on occasion to throw out something linear so I sound scholarly. So here's my best effort. The first step is to tell your absolute truth. Even if you're wrong, by the way, your truth is just your truth. What you believe, you'll all notice that as you grow and expand, what was a truth yesterday is not a truth today, and it won't, the truth that you're defending to the death today will be a different truth tomorrow. Gallagher, the comedian, said, I once got an F on a test that asked for my opinion. And your truth is your opinion. And so it's as ludicrous or as funny to have somebody try to grade your opinion as it is to grade your truth. When one tries to tell their truth or attempts to tell their truth, usually it's when you're little children. So it's, who do you think you are, young man or young lady? And children should be seen and not heard. Or you don't know what you're talking about. Or even when you're saying to your family, wow, you guys are upset, aren't you? No, we're not. Or everything's fine. Well, we're about to be kicked out on the street during the Depression, but no, everything's fine. We got a lot of miscommunication. So even when we're operating in our truth, very often we weren't getting a truth back. I got all the troublemakers in the front row again today. So it was very lethal for many people to tell their truth. I got hit. Some people get yelled at and shamed. Some got locked. Sybil got locked in her closet. So many of us, 90-something percent of us, shifted into stage number two. And so if you can't tell your absolute truth, reap the rewards and suffer the consequences, stage number two is drama and crisis. It's the American way of life. Love it or leave it, drama or crisis. And if drama and crisis doesn't get what you need, we move into step three, which is dis-ease. Dis-ease or disease. For a number of people going through these frequency shifts that are happening as your bodies change, it means tight neck and shoulders, sore backs, even if you're really healthy. It means blood sugar stuff, a lot of people with chronic fatigue or Epstein-Barr stuff, and it's just the disease of not being their truthful selves. It takes a lot of energy to be somebody you're not. Yeah. So if disease doesn't help you move along, we'll go into stage four, which is pending death, and there's also a lot of that happening on the planet. And some very amazing people that seem to have their act together, but the trick is that they're just trying to find a way to tell their truth. But, well, let Grandpa say what he has to say. He's dying, you know. Now it's okay for Grandpa. I hate all of you. You've driven me crazy for 50 years. That's okay, Grandpa. You're dying. You can say it now. We don't mind. Or that, what's that saying? If in the drama and crisis stage, you finally made me so mad, I have to tell you how I really feel. Wow, why didn't you just like say it in the first place? Did you have to have this ulcer over it? So the example most of you heard me pick before, it's my favorite since we've all had this experience. If you've gone to school in America, you've had it. Step one is, I don't want to go to school today. But you have to go to school today. It's the law, and what do you want to do? Grow up to be an idiot? You want the Japanese to take over your life? That's the new thing I imagine today's kids are hearing. The Japanese are just getting so much faster than you. So I don't want to go to school today, but you have to go to school. Plus, we want to have some peace and quiet. We've had you for 5 long years. Get over to school and drive them nuts. So those of you who don't have children, you won't appreciate the humor in that. The rest of you will just totally get it. Part two in that is then the drama and crisis. How many of you remember or have experienced that first day of kindergarten with all the moms and dads with the kids prying off their leg, get in there, and I don't want you to let me. That whole torture scene, the drama and crisis of, I just don't want to do this there. It's awful, horrible. You're putting me in Auschwitz. It's what a horrible thing you're doing. Of course, then when it's the end of the day, you can't get them to come home either. Yeah. They're having so much, look at all the finger painting I did. Then you have to pry them off the teacher's leg. So that's their drama and crisis about, I'd rather stay. But you have to come home now. We want you. Wasn't it tough being a kid? Back and forth. Step three is the disease stage. We learn really fast as kids that the best way to get out of school is to get a fever. And how many of you then generalize that information into the workplace? When you do you pick up the phone and do step one? Well, you know, you guys, it's really sunny outside today. Work's really boring. You don't really pay me enough. And I'm not coming in today. Fired. Or you go into step two. You try all those dramas and crisis. Oh, I got a flat tire and the dog ate my homework. All those ones we try. More often than not, now we just go to step three. Pick up the phone and go, you know, that fake cough you have to work on two or three times before you do the phone. Anybody not done that? That's even getting out of seeing the relatives. Well, you're the boss. You don't get this. They've done it to you, though. They've either done it or had it done to you. Now, the fun part is usually if you're really good, you can get a hold of one of your other fellow employees because they won't say anything. They'll just say, oh, so-and-so is really sick, because when it's their turn, they expect reciprocation. So we get taught in America to get sick in order to get our truth heard. That's why we have so many people saying, I'm a Vietnam vet, or I'm out of my house, and help rescue me. We're the land of rescuers. And it's real imperative that you stay in your present moment, or they'll jerk your heart from the past, or they'll take you into the future. Well, what if it was me, and what would I expect to have happen? And I'm a good person, and I do this, and they'll do that. You're being asked to stay in the moment. You're being asked to take care of yourself. And it's a pretty scary thing to be relentlessly truthful. You're going to be called selfish, self-centered, all those wonderful things, mean, nasty, bad people. And then you're going to try to remember all these things you should and shouldn't do. And memory is a very exhausting thing. Have you guys figured that out yet? So my debate is, why have memory? Is it just one more tool you use to avoid being tortured? In fact, if you don't remember that you've repeated this behavior a million times, even if it's torture to you, it seems to be the first time you've done it, so it's not such a big deal. It's a new experience. Even though it might be the same new experience for 16 million lifetimes, you don't know. Being asked to stay present in the moment and not spend all your energy in trying to hold your reality together, because that reality is based on usually pain avoidance. Yeah? So in this transition time, you'll find that most people that are resisting letting go of this memory or letting go of their identity or the identity they believe they have are having exhaustion and some of those physical responses we talked about. And there are some ways around helping them, but the two that I'm seeing help most of the people I see is paying attention to their electrolyte levels and doing a little extra protein intake too. Maintain. Yes. Yeah, I'll talk about the protein intake. That doesn't mean tons of protein. It just means like a tablespoon of beans and rice or some protein powder in between things. And especially for those of you who had chats with me or know your violets, they especially need that. But it seems to help everyone. Now, the electrolyte stuff, I'm noticing across the board for most people. This is my shallow attempt at a biological reasoning. So it's been my experience, a lot of people are trying to think their ways out of a paper bag lately, or what's my purpose, where am I going, what's life all about, why does all this stuff that I thought was so important not important anymore, what's my purpose, where am I going, why is the world going to hell in a handbasket, God, the news sucks, what's that bombing all about? At least it's sunny today. I'm sure for the last few weeks we might have said, God, the weather sucks. So that could add that on. There's been a lot going on, that energy that it takes to try to rationalize, think, project, manufacture, stay in the moment with, process all that stuff, deal with the fears and anticipations, keeps your brains very busy. And the electrolyte levels in your bodies get fried. The electrolytes are what you use for a number of things, but primarily for carrying electrical signals in your body. And you're basically a bioelectrical mechanism on a 3D level. And your brain's totally operate on synapses, jumping the gaps, electrical impulses. So when your electrolytes go down, you start having muddled thinking. You're not able to keep up with everything. The next phase that happens is that your body will start, your brain will demand at least glucose, because at least sugar does some carriage of electrical signals, but it starts exhausting your body, frying it, and you'll either try pumping in more sugar, or you'll just plain get exhausted and start getting your Epstein-Barr-like symptoms. So for many people I've worked with that had this Epstein-Barr stuff, when they started doing electrolytes, it's gone away. And they were just in a mind state of exhaustion, and the rest of the body was trying to compensate. So the health food store here, I haven't paid attention. I order mine through the mail, but the electrolytes I've seen here, they at least have them in trace mineral capsules in the health food store. Electrolytes are a subset of trace minerals. And so there's liquid trace minerals, there's capsuled trace minerals, and I prefer the liquid. They taste like skid marks. They're not fun, but it's brief. And it gets right into your body. They're water soluble. They don't last more than a day. And so I recommend, if any of you do play with that or try that, bear in mind this is not to help you remember more. This is to help you stay clear in the moment so you're more brave about staying present. You will actually remember more at first if that's important to you. Its design is to help you stay more alert or more aware. The 10 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon is what I'm seeing work best for most people. And after 3 o'clock, it'll keep you up most of the night because your brain will be really busy. So happy that it's on vacation. So in the capsule form, a couple capsules mid-morning and a couple mid-afternoon. If it's in the liquid concentrated form, 7, you'll find your magic number. If it's already in the diluted version, just follow what it says on the bottle. That seems to work pretty good. There's some that looks like it comes in Clorox bottles. That might even be a hint. It could easily be Clorox. It does taste like Clorox. Seems like it should taste to me. Yeah. Skid mark. That's a friend of mine, Sherry Edwards, called it a skid mark. And that was pretty. It tastes very metally, and it sticks to you. But you might find that'll help some. It's what your intention is about things. If you're using it to remember more, it will just set up more exhaustion for you. Because it's my belief, or my opinion as I watch this, that memory is going through major shifts now. And again, how many people are witnessing memory shifts? How many wish they could remember more? Yeah. Why would you like to remember more would be the question. I know a lot of different answers, but consider that. What will remembering more do for you? And please watch out for a lot of the traps that are happening that we're doing to our children. Super learning camps and this and that, and we're making adults out of them younger and younger. We're making them really competitive, and they're getting very exhausted, and we're having a tremendously high suicide rate. And America has the highest in the world for teenagers because we're trying to make them Japanese or competitive. That's a culture that has a certain tradition and history. They're very much used to that way. They've adjusted to it. We're going through those growing pains where we're trying to make everybody super learning. A group of scientists, again, put out an article that Adolphine Carroll read to a group of us 4 or 5 years ago. And information as of 4 or 5 years ago was doubling every 100 years. 10 years before that, it was doubling every 1,000 years. And they figured exponentially by the year 2012, if it keeps going this way, it's going to double every second. Now, in the last 5 years since she read that article to me, I have certainly not seen it slow down. We're about to step into holographic communications. Yeah. A picture tells 1,000 words, yes? And an emotion does 1,000 pictures. And a song does 1,000 emotions. And a hologram with music on it is going to do millions of words. And so we're already virtual reality. As we step into our music videos, which already communicate so accelerated, and we start making them holographic realities, we put some headgear on and we live a music video, we're going to be doing information at such an outrageous rate. And it's all cellular. It gets more feeling. It gets more experiential. It's not linear or logical any longer. And so this memory part, or this why to remember things, is important to look at for you to see if it's about self-esteem or is it about self-preservation. So many things going on these days about eat right, live right, act right. And so many people are so busy living right, eating right, acting right, they're not having a life. Yeah, and it's a trick. When I lived in Santa Barbara, there was a lot of people I bumped into said, well, I live in Santa Barbara too. And I go, okay, well, what do you do in Santa Barbara? Well, do you enjoy the sunshine? Do you get outside? Do you really even know what the weather was today? Do you know what's going on? No, I'm working all day, and when it's dark when I get home, and the next day I'm I'm back on it, and on the weekends I'm exhausted. So you're telling me you exist in Santa Barbara. You don't live there. And Carmel's not much different. It's the same sort of lifestyle for a great many people here. They're existing here but not living here. And that they moved to that place because of all the things that it offered, but they never got to have it. It's the same with eating right, living right, doing right. Just be who you are. And there was a fun... Now, this isn't totally true, but there was a fun little chat I watched on one of the public television stations. The guy said, look around you. In 110 years, everybody that's on the planet that you see and know are here today will be extinct. You're in a generation doomed to have extinction. All of you, everybody on the... Now, that's not necessarily true, because I have met people who are many hundreds of years old. There are a few, but there are exceptions. And they're not 3D people, so this is the 3D reality. So this, everybody in this room, as they go through their shifts, has the opportunity to make that a different reality, but so many people are operating out of the belief that must be true. If I don't eat right, live right, or do right, I'm going to die. Well, guess what? The more you put where your attention goes, your energy flows. And if you think you're not doing it right, then you're not. Then the more you think you're doing it right, then you're actually catering to a belief that there must be a way that's not right. And so you allow for it to exist, and you allow for it to get exposed to you. I believe we're creating a generation of sterile families, so our children will not be able to handle the earth changes. They'll not be able to handle what's going to happen to the water. You think all this silt and all this stuff is going to make your water all perfect, clear, and fine? It shouldn't hurt you, but if you start drinking all that perfect bottled water and doing all that stuff, you're setting yourselves up so when water does go, and water is going to become gold soon. That's going to be the number one food source in the near future. It's not going to be food any longer. It's just going to be sunlight, air, and water. And you need to be able to have the water as it is. There aren't going to be all these bottling companies. And how many of you have read those fun articles about the fact that bottled water is just the same as out of your tap? And they just put it in a nice clear bottle and put some from the spring of such and such. Well, you better go visit that spring. I can put from the spring of Rob Rob, and I'll just put it right, a little bow on my tap. Fresh from Italy. Well, I grew up in Italy. You won't want to drink a lot of the water we had there. We did have a wonderful artesian well right down the street from us, and everybody in town used it because their water sucked. So this well was always lined up with people. So if you get some water from France or some water from Italy, you might want to go visit it. I've been to some of these places. So part of the chat is it keeps tying back into the change and to the memory and all this stuff you're storing and what seems to be important. You might want to consider the possibility that all the stuff they're telling you is important isn't. Like now there was an article out last year about all the people who've been running are suffering tremendous low back damage. They've damaged their discs. So their hearts are better, but their backs suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now they can't do things to test their heart because their back hurts so much. Can't even have sex. You know? Ran themselves right out of business, but their hearts are great. Does that make sense? Have you guys seen some of these articles? I don't want you to think I'm just making them up. They're out and about. The back stuff, the water stuff. A lot of the things... See you later, Chuck. Okay. A lot of the things you guys have been promised are true, 10 years later aren't true. It's like radial keratotomy. I'm waiting another 5 years. I want to see what happens with that. I want to just see all of it, everybody's eyes just peel open all of a sudden. No guarantees. Your body, when you have issues about my vision isn't fine the way it is or I'm not fine the way it is, you don't have to see this reality in perfect focus. And how many of you don't really believe you're not colorblind? How do you know whether you are or not? Who told you what colorblind is and who made that decision what color is what? And how do we even know we're really agreeing on it? How do you know cinnamon tastes like cinnamon? It probably doesn't. You know, but there's no way we know the other person's decision on that. And yet we've made some assumption that all that stuff's okay and it's working against you guys. Part of this memory part is to end separation. Yeah. How many of you believe 2 plus 2 is 4? So now those of you who didn't raise your hand, tell me why it isn't 4. You just think I'm going to pick on you, huh? So let's see. Let's do it this way. here's two birds, and here's two birds. How many birds do you see? I don't have my flow chart, little chart here today. So this is a bird. Oh, this is a bird. No, this is a bird. And this, but I can't do 2 + 2 that way. 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's four there. Yes. Now how many are there? How many are there now? There's still four. I took these two. I have long arms, but those two go way over there, and these two go way over here. How many birds are there? Yeah, there's no right answer here. When does four become two and two? At four inches, or is it 8 inches, or is it 16? What's your own personal definition of separation is up to you. At one point, does this four actually become two and two? And then, if in fact separation really doesn't matter, then there's a lot more than two birds here, because every other bird on the planet now counts. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not included in this. So does separation mean, do you see it? Does it have to be within your visual scope? So if your guys are attached to memory, do you have to remember it? Do you have to see it? How close does it have to be? How far apart? So that's a very strong thing to consider. The other way to look at it is not just within spatial perceptual, you can also consider this within time or within definition. So 2 + 2 can be 4. It can also be everything. 2 + 2 is everything. You get to decide. Again, a chat you guys have heard me talk about before. My third wife's a vegan vegetarian, and vegan vegetarians do not use leather products or animal products in anything. And so that was just too tempting for me. So I would hang out with her vegetarian friends and I would say, well, at what point did you become a vegetarian? Some of you have heard this before. Do not give away the secret. So at what point did you become a... Well, I've been a vegetarian for 16 years. And well, that's great. Did you become a vegetarian the minute you just decided? Or was it after you had your first vegetarian meal? Or did you not read those studies that helped you become a vegetarian that said if you eat red meat, it stays in your bowels for 35 years? So are you a vegetarian when it finally comes out? I know it sounds sarcastic. It is. But it's also a fact. You know, at what point do you decide that point? And that's up to you. In this era of separation and memory and attachment, you need to pay attention to your own personal definitions and what you might be doing to yourself on that. Yeah, I would. Every year they had this wonderful gathering. My son was a professional juggler back then, and on the other side of the big island where we lived was the world, the Jugglers for Peace. They had a big complex. These jugglers from all over the world owned this big complex in Pune. And they come every year to it, and there's a few that live there, and they call it Belly Acres. And it's very cute. It's very cute. Well, they're all the professional entertainers. And so he would hang out with them every year, and a great many of them are vegan vegetarians or breatharians. So there's this real health-oriented, slender, they all look lithe. They look like they're about to disappear. And they would have this big gathering every year from all over the world, and they'd have this monstrous potluck. And it's all wonderful vegan food. And the first time I went there, I had to do two things. I knew in advance it was going to be a vegan group primarily, so I brought this big cellophane thing full of red raw hamburger with a big bloody red bow tied to it. And I put that on the table. I buried it in all the stuff so it would be discovered at the appropriate time. The other part is while I was there, I noticed that they were using cardboard boxes. And I said, uh-uh. What glue are you guys using to hold these boxes together? I expect you to destroy these boxes immediately. Walk your talk. Now, they do make glues these days. In fact, most postage stamps have always been made with corn tapioca. It used to be in the past, and now they use some form of cornstarch. So actually, you know, you get you can get fat by licking stamps, for those of you who do bulk mailing. It's a calorie per stamp, up to 8 calories a stamp, depending on whether it's tapioca or what's out today. You guys don't have to remember that. It's one of those few things. I always remember the obnoxious stuff. I don't really, I do have selective memory, it's true. So First we had to get rid of all those boxes. I said, if you're going to walk your talk around me, because I'm going to bust you all on it, because I believe you. If at this moment, some people are gum Arians, some are breath Arians, some are water Arians, but I don't see anybody eating a sandwich. So at this precise moment, I do not see any vegetarians. I do not see any carnivores in this room. You are what you are in the moment. You are not what you are because you decided 16 years ago, this is how I'm going to eat three lousy times a day. That makes that your identity. 15 minutes, maybe three, let's say three, if you take your time, 3 hours a day out of 24, and that's your identity, I'm a vegetarian. I can think of a lot more things I do in the other 22 hours, 21 hours that I'd rather define myself by than how I intake and excrete food. It's a thought. So I had this nice, wonderful little red hamburger thing all buried on the table, and of course potluck time finally happens, and never failed every year. Now after the first year, everybody was in on the joke except for the new ones. And that was my form of, I was very bored on Hawaii, so I had some form of entertainment. So here's this amazing little package to be discovered, and who put this dead cow? How'd they know it was cow anyways? I mean, could have been anything, but who put this dead cow on this table? Me. How is it that you can eat that way and do the things that you do? First, they made an assumption I was going to eat it. I never said I was going to eat it. I just brought it. Any more than they were going to eat those cardboard boxes they brought. Just said, how can you eat those cardboard boxes? First, I wasn't going to eat it, though when I was little, I did like raw hamburger. That's not my favorite thing now. So there it was, how is it you can eat that way and do the things that you do? And I said, that's really a good question. How is it you can eat the way you do and not do the things that I do? Because they would believe that if they eat perfect and do all this, the angels and guides will show up and they'll be more psychic and there'll be all this spiritual stuff. And it's a trick. If you do it thinking it'll make you more spiritual, get over it. The way you get more spiritual is you just decide it. You are what you think you eat. And if you have an issue, this whole memory stuff and all these things about definition, it's real important to look at them, because the more where your attention goes, your energy flows. And if you put your energy into things about I'm not good enough or fine just the way I am, you're setting up a torture plan, and you're setting up those wonderful four stages about not being your truthful self. I'm a memory impaired, attention deficit disordered, psychic genius who has got verbal diarrhea and loves to be center of attention and has a great time being the Gemini he is, and I drive people nuts, and I have sometimes great joy doing that, and sometimes it's my inconvenience, and that's who I am. And you either love it or leave it, right? And you'll find that when the person just says, this is who I am and this is what it is, I don't want to convince you guys I'm wonderful. I'm not wonderful. I wouldn't have three ex-wives if I was wonderful. You know, count them. And Annie will shake her head. I'm not always wonderful to live with. I'm a total ditz. Yeah. And when I say total ditz, I'm having great joy in it. Yeah. Some of you were told when you were little you were ditzes. You go, gee, I'm sorry, I should get better grades. Uh-uh. So we'll take a few minute break, but while you're taking your break and drinking tea or chatting, you might want to think about whether you're being a breatharian or a vegetarian or a notarian or a thinkarian or a feelarian or a just bearian. So we'll take a break. So let's see, we're back from our break. What are we going to do? There's a couple things that came through. So we alluded to definition somewhat, and then who told me about, Honey told me about seeing the movie Don Juan DeMarco, because it's all about perceptions. So we didn't get to see it yet because it broke when we were there to see. I guess that was the hint. Speaking of perceptions, there was no volume. So, freedom of speech does include volume, so we decided to come back another time. So in the world of definition, It's real important, and this leads into some of the stuff we were chatting about while the tape was off about Annie and her healing stuff, is that we very often set ourselves up by thinking we're looking for one thing, and we're totally on the wrong track and spend years and years and years. A couple of jokes that might help you get in touch with that, especially about that separation that we were alluding to. Is it about time or closeness? What's the truth? What's my definition? Let's see, Stephen Wright, who's one of my favorite comedians. I'm not afraid of heights, I'm afraid of widths. Yeah. I'll give you a few seconds. I just love that joke. Do you think the people in Denver are scared shitless or what? They're in the Mile High City. Are they really worried about it? Have you ever been to Denver? Did you start shaking at your knees? Denver's really wide. So I'm not afraid of heights, I'm afraid of widths. The reason they're not really scared is it's not about how high Denver is. It's that it's very wide. As a therapist, working with people on their fear of heights, I'm sure I never helped a single person because I was really addressing the fear of heights. And I'm sure it's not the height. I believe it's the width that was really getting them. And so if you end up chasing around your tail, let's say you have a fear of heights, and you're trying to get it repaired or remedied, you'll never fix it if it's really about widths. Does that make sense? Yeah? So you can work on getting crouching more to the ground and all whatever, all these wonder, drink better water, do this and that. But if it's not about your body and if it's not about your well-being, if it's really not about your memory, get over it. And it probably isn't. I'll bet it's a whiff you haven't thought about. But until you quit searching for the fear of heights, you'll never think about the whiff. Perception is an amazing thing, and it sets us all up here. A joke you've all heard me say before, I just love it so much, I have to tell it again. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm starving. So I went out. There it was, open 24 hours. There he was, inside, mopping the floor. So I went up to the door, and I pulled on the door. It was locked. I said, "Hey, it says you're open 24 hours. And he said, "Hey, not in a row." Isn't that great? I love that joke. Another Stephen Wright joke. So, but then you have to look at this. 7-Elevens must believe that that's possibly true because they do have locks on their doors and they are open 24 hours, so maybe they also know it's not in a row. They just haven't sprung it on you yet. One of these days you're going to go to your local 7-Eleven, it's going to be locked. Hey! And it's going to go, not in a row. Don't believe it. You think 7-Eleven's going to waste all their money on locks if they're never going to use them? Of course not. So there's a hint there. Pay attention to what you're giving your power away to. Pay attention to all this stuff about what's appropriate health and well-being and what memory's all about and what the good person and bad person is and why is it you really think you need to remember or know more. I promise you, the more you know you don't know. Anybody yet not experienced that? How many of you are really deeply saddened that you went on this path of discovery? Anybody just have a shit fit over that lately? Occasionally, it'll sneak. This is your chance not to remember a thing we're saying today. Do not follow this. There's a few people in the room who are just starting to get this. That they're going very fast with it. But once you get on the path, you get to address your fantasies. All this stuff that you thought would happen and would become.